You're listening to the 405 Exchange Podcast. My name is Ken Grandpierre, and today's episode is with Vlad Holiday. Yes, another episode where I get to catch up with a friend. You guys are in for a treat. Vlad is someone that I've known for a very long time, and yet this talk you're about to hear is massively different than any conversation we've had before. And a lot of that is due to Vlad's change from being a band leader to being a solo artist. Yet, to hear him talk about it, it doesn't feel like it's been that big of a change for him, mentally speaking, creatively speaking. But I went in quite deep with him because the music is different. And with this talk, we go into what it means for him to approach music from a different place than he has before, and why going solo isn't scary to him whatsoever. This is the 405 Exchange with Vlad Holiday. Enjoy. So, obviously the first question, what caused you to go solo?
I don't know, that's a good question. So I've been in a few bands. I started playing music when I was really young. I kind of always try to find a way to keep doing it, whether or not people around me wanted to keep doing it. Like, my first band kind of broke up because people wanted to go back to school. This was like a high school band that I had. And then it just kind of, this last band I was in kind of started feeling a bit uninspired, and I obviously kept, like, this is what I'm doing with my life. There's no way around it. I'm a musician, and I wanted to have another outlet to put out music, and essentially I don't really view it differently than being in a band.
Really?
Yeah, honestly, because most, like, my last band, I wrote and produced and, like, did everything, you know, by myself, so the creative process doesn't feel any different from now.
Wow, that's interesting you say that, because that was going to be my next question, but I guess I'd love to go into the aspect of the lyrics then, because I imagine in the way you would write lyrics for a band, just intrinsically must differ from how you'd write lyrics for yourself, no?
Yeah, not for me, because wow. I was never trying to please anybody else, which you kind of have to do when you're making anything, you know?
Well, I mean, what is it, that aspect of being a band, people say it's quite a democracy.
I think everybody that I was in a band with in Born Cages, my old band, they were all cool with what I was doing, and I never got any, like, no, you shouldn't use that word, you should use this word, kind of thing.
I know from talking to you in the past that there was a feeling that it was hard to encapsulate the different styles that you wanted to do with music. Like, we had a recent talk about that, how it's interesting when you play rock music, but you like more than just rock music.
Yeah.
I wonder, have you found it, like, lately, with these newer songs you've been writing, have you found it easier to experiment with different sounds that you wanted to delve into?
Yeah, honestly, like, so this new project, which is under my own name, is a bit of a sonic departure from my old band. I kind of wanted to strip things down and make them a little more, a little less focused on, like, electronics and different kind of, like, crazy weird production and sounds and stuff like that. I wanted to make it just feel a little more organic, actually, which is something that I didn't do. And I like, again, like we talked about before, I love music that's super poppy and crazy production and all this stuff, and, like, but I also really love the very simple, moody, like, just organic kind of songs.
Yeah, I mean, it makes me wonder in terms of, like, comfort level and delving into that territory, because when you think about it, it's not necessarily stripping things back, but it is presenting yourself in a more of a bare way.
Yeah, it is. And scary.
Where did that come from? Or at least, like, where do you think, like, both the bravery and the desire came from to do that?
I don't know. I think after a while when you're... I think you, you know, I was doing My Last Man for 6 years, which is a long time in this industry. Like,
yeah.
And I think it's like refreshing to try something new. And yeah, it does take a lot of bravery to do it and to commit to it, especially since like we have a lot of people that were listening to Born Cages and loved what we did. And you almost want to be like, okay, here's more and here's more. But I was always such a slow writer that, like, I don't know. It felt like a time, it felt a bit uninspired at the end for me, honestly. Yep. Even though I love all that music that I put out, like, I was, like, super proud of it all. But, like, it felt uninspired to keep doing the same thing. So I think I needed a change, sonically and direction, everything.
Do you think because now you know the song's going to be under your own name, now it represents you a bit more, do you feel like that's kind of shifted the pace of the writing in any way?
Yeah, I write differently now, honestly. I don't overthink as much. I think anybody that's followed my career since my first band, and I actually have a few fans that like were there since my first band, over 10 years ago.
Yeah.
And they'll know that it takes a few years between albums to put out another album. Yeah. And I always hated that about myself. I overthink things a lot. It's very easy to do that. And I always wanted to create this quote unquote perfect package of a song that is really, it's stupid to think that way, because there is no such thing as perfection when it comes to any form of art, and you want to do the best that you can, but at the same time, I think it's really freeing to just create something out of nowhere and kind of just be like, that's what this is, now let me do another one. And that's kind of my approach with my solo project, is that I'm trying not to overthink the songwriting, the songs. I'm just kind of trying to let them flow naturally, and then that's that.
When do you think you realized that about yourself, that like the aspect of perfectionism wasn't helping?
You know, when we were talking earlier, but on the side I write for sync, for TV, for film and stuff like that, under like a fake pseudonym.
Yeah.
A lot of those things that I had to write were like perfectly structured pop songs, which again I like, but it was starting to get so like predictable.
Like kind of almost cyclical.
Yeah, so predictable, and honestly pop music nowadays is going through a similar revolution where it's like people are trying to mesh things they haven't meshed before.
It's a lot more varied.
The song structures are way weirder.
Yeah.
It's so refreshing though. Like, I love that, because you get bored of hearing the same song a million times. Like when the Spotify era happened and it got really big the past few years, like there's so many bands, there's so many girl singers that have this like tonality that try to create the same song with the same exact thing, and I think it's so cool when people try to not do that, to try to do something new and to try to just break the mold a bit. And because I was writing a lot of that stuff for other artists and for sync, for pitch, for all that stuff,
yeah.
It kind of made me like not want to write pop music anymore, even though my solo project is, I consider it pop, but it made me not want to do it like in a similar way.
You know, one of my favorite things on YouTube, and I'll show it to you after the talk, is that there's this video that this comedian made about it's titled Why Can't Engineer Kendrick Lamar, and it's like pretty much like a music geek's interpretation of how ridiculous Kendrick Lamar's songs are.
Huh.
Like from a production standpoint.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You're talking about pop and like how varied it is now. I imagine an artist like that is a good example where...
Perfect example.
Like,
yeah,
from a production standpoint, like I imagine sometimes you listen to Kendrick Lamar and you're like, what the fuck is he doing?
Yeah, yeah. Totally. And Kanye too, honestly. Like, a lot of... like, some weird shit there. Like, it's kind of hard actually as a playing rock music and trying to push the envelope. Like, that style of music has kind of been doing it a lot more than rock bands. It's hard to, like, make rock new.
Yeah.
But, yeah, it's very... I think it's so important to try to keep moving music to a new place that it hasn't been.
I think that's definitely true.
Yeah.
So, tell me about your track, Quit Playing Cool.
Yeah. It was the first song I wrote for this, you know, project. And at the time, I didn't know what it was. I guess I just wanted to make a song sort of in this style because I'd never done that. I don't ever write more down-tempo songs, honestly.
Yeah.
And I did it, and I was like, I might put it out, like, as a solo project. And I still had the band at this point. And I did, and I got a lot of really great feedback from all my friends, like industry people and the fans of my band as well. And I was like a little surprised, but I wasn't like, this is gonna be my new thing. I just was like, I'm just doing this for fun in the middle of all the bullshit of, you know, trying to make a record and finding a team for my band and like all this stuff. There's so much behind the scenes that people don't know.
Yeah.
When it comes to, there's like politics. Yeah, you have to. That's part of the reason why it takes so long to put out music. And I like that this day and age, it's more. It's a good and a bad thing that it's more single based. Just the climate of music, but I think it's nice that you can write a song and be like and put it out like fairly quickly, especially as an independent artist, which I am. Like, I can pretty much put it up the next day if I wanted to, which is really cool. I'm not used to that, and a lot of people aren't used to that. And, you know, in the pop world, when there's like so many people working on your team, kind of takes a year or more of planning and like getting everything together, all this stuff. But it's nice that people are more fast, that it's all more fast paced now, because it's more real and authentic, actually, because you don't overthink it as much and you just kind of put out this thing that you just made.
Yeah. If I'm remembering correctly, when I read about that specific song, it's about the early stages of a relationship where you're kind of like trying to play cool.
Yeah.
So I have to ask, what was it like having your girlfriend react to that song?
Well, honestly, she loved it. I was just saying, like, I met my girlfriend on Tinder. All good millennials. And, yeah, we really hit it off, like, right off the bat. She's from Belgium, and asked her to move in with me, like, pretty much, like, a few weeks after I met her, so that we could, you know, there was no other way this was gonna work. And, yeah, the early stages of that relationship, it's like, it's funny because I do that too. Like, everybody does it. Like, you're trying to put on this facade of whatever image you think best represents you, but it's it only gets good once you break down that kind of wall and you just are being yourself. And you only really know if you're compatible with somebody once both of you like drop your guards and you're just yourselves.
Yeah, I wonder, like, because obviously that song has a very specific type of sentiment, but it's been a while since you released it.
Mm-hmm.
I wonder if the sentiment of that song has changed at all for you over time, or do you feel like it even has an additional meaning behind it?
Yeah, honestly, like, it's kind of also like a sexual song, and yeah, to me, I don't know that it's changed, but I know that the songs I'm writing for my solo project, which is funny because, like, I only have that one song out right now.
Yeah.
Well, by the time this is up, probably I'll have two.
Yeah.
Because I have a song coming out tomorrow, which is March 9th. But, yeah, like, it's a very specific, conversation that I'm having in that song, and like the next songs that I've written after that are a bit different. But yeah, I'm excited to see how people react to that, because it's really scary and exciting to put out new things. But
well, tell me about this new song you have coming out tomorrow.
It's called Children, and it's kind of about romanticizing the past and nostalgia and all that. I think most artists really, it's one of the most intense feelings you can have, nostalgia, and I've been noticing actually a lot of people talk about it and writing songs and stuff, and yeah, it's about like looking back and kind of remembering things, you know, with a different eye, and kind of also the song's also sort of about just trying to accept that feeling and feel good about it, and kind of almost ignoring, it's a moment of ignoring all the bullshit and noise that is happening in the present, and just like living, just kind of pretending that everything is fine, which is sometimes necessary. It's not actually a great way to live by, because you have to focus on the present and the future, but sometimes it gets so overwhelming that you kind of have to take a step back and just forget about all the bullshit for a second.
And I'm also curious to know about the other songs you have popped, because I mean, what's interesting about this stage that you're in now is obviously there's songs, maybe like a pile of songs, more like a folder, I don't know why people say pile, a folder of songs that are yet to be out. What are some of your favorites? I mean, if you can't say the titles, of course, just describe different songs.
I have a song that's about, well, sort of related to what I was talking about. It's about somebody who was afraid to talk about hairy issues. Things like, you know, things like gun control or women's rights and like all these things that are very much present in the current, you know, everybody's talking about them kind of topics. And I think it's really detrimental to not talk about all these things, and to try to, just because you're afraid that people might be like, give you shit about it, or I think if you believe in something, you really have to stand up for it now more than ever. Otherwise, you're kind of, you're letting the problem just drag on. Everybody needs to, and they are, and it's International Women's Day today. It's like, it's so inspiring to see all these women who are like, you know, stepping forward and making all these changes happen. Like, it's kind of ridiculous when you take a look at how unequal everything is, and even in 2018, and like, it's really inspiring to see people who are constantly trying to fight for that, for equality, because on so many levels, you just kind of have to if you're a part of society nowadays. Like, I also am not a fan of musicians or, you know, people just being like all of a sudden being political activists for no reason, just because when it feels like, oh, they just want to also have a say. But honestly, I think it's really important that everybody voices their opinion and tries to move society forward. Otherwise, we're just kind of stuck.
You know, it was one of the big things I've been looking forward to asking you about when I was on my way here, is that, like, I mean, when we started this talk, you brought up the fact about how the dynamic hasn't felt that different to you from a creative standpoint, going from a band and playing live. But I do, what has it been like playing, like, live for you? Like, the live element?
Well, with this new thing?
Yeah.
Well, I haven't really played yet, but I'm getting a band together right now.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, sure.
Almost done. I have,
you've been, like, trying people out
pretty much. Yeah, pretty much. I have some friends that are just, like, playing with me, and it's really cool. It really doesn't feel much different. Like, I was always the one in my old band that I was kind of like getting, making everything, putting into place, setting up a band practice, whatever. And it's actually kind of a lot of work when you're, you know.
a bit older.
Yeah, yeah. But people have, you know, lives. And so yeah, I'm doing that now. It's really exciting. I only have one thing booked at the moment, but it's a thing for Pace Magazine and Day Trotter, like live session.
Oh, those sessions are great.
Yeah, it's, I'm really excited. April 4th. No, yeah, April 4th, I think we're doing it. And that's gonna be like the first full band performance with this. And it's so nerve wracking because it's so, you know, a live show, it's loud, people had a few drinks. If you're not perfect, like, they won't even notice. But when you're recorded in a studio,
yeah,
in a box,
everything counts.
And everything's like, you know, transmitted to like thousands of people. Yeah, it's scary.
Tell me this before I let you go. Because you talked a bit about the next couple songs you have coming up. I wonder, what do you think in regards to children? That's the next one.
Yeah, yeah.
What do you think is going to surprise people the most about that release?
I don't know. It's a little different. It's a little louder than Quit Playing Cool, but I don't even know anymore. Like, I'm just writing songs and putting them out, but I'm very curious to see how people react. It's like I said, it's really nerve-wracking and exciting to like be putting stuff out and seeing how people react, but ultimately, I really dig this song, so fuck it.
You know, tell me this then, in that word, like before we sign off fully, because you said something interesting there when you brought up people's reactions.
Yeah.
How much does that matter to you in regards as an artist? Like, do you ever find that, that's the right way to ask this. Do you feel like that ever, not like influences you, but do you ever feel like that plays a role at all in like how you respond to things as an artist?
Yeah, I think people's reaction is very important. I don't think that I write songs because I want people to like them.
Yeah.
But I definitely want people to like them after I've written the song. You know what I mean?
Yeah. You want there to be that dialogue.
That's the thing, because I'm actually like, I'm a producer. Like, I love producing music. I love writing music. I love that part, but my favorite part by far, being a musician, is playing live.
Really?
100%.
Even still.
I don't know why, but that being on stage is by far the best. And like, the best moments I've ever had were seeing people, like, I've written songs about certain fans actually before, and like traumatic experiences they've had, and I remember this moment, or a few moments when we played in the city, and like,
yeah,
this guy's singing along and like, you know, crying as I'm like playing this song that I wrote about him. It's like, it doesn't get any better for me than that moment where a song like reacts to somebody that way, and it's a live show where you're actually having that human interaction. It's all about human interaction. Like, music can make you feel a certain thing, and I've had so many favorite musicians and bands and things that I really like have defined me, that the people who wrote it will never know that they had that impact on me. And today, with social media and stuff, you can reach out to your favorite musicians and let them know easier than in the past.
Yeah.
But even like getting a message, it really, like, or something like, hey, your band, I love your music, whatever, or even a more in-depth, it's amazing. But like, when you see it in person, it's so inexplicable, that feeling when you're connecting with the audience just in person. Like, that really truly is the best part about doing what I do.
That's awesome. Vlad, thanks for having a chat with me.
Yeah, man, thanks for having me.
Of course, man.
Life, and it's too dark.